Our sermon today is based on a reading from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. Thank you, God, that sometimes out of the mouths of babes, we receive wisdom and insight. So we're continuing our sermon series in honor of Women's History Month, learning about women in the Bible whose stories we may have overlooked. And today we will hear the story of a wise little girl whose innocence and trust turned a mighty man's life around. Little girls are the best. I say that having been one myself and now serving as the grandmother of the cutest, sweetest, funniest, prettiest, most darling little girl ever. Indulge me as I share a recent Poppy story. We were at the Lexington Public Library and there was a space where they had all these toy cars and toy houses. Poppy's parents and I were helping another little boy pretend to fill his toy car up at the play gas pump. Poppy was playing in a toy camper, and when she saw us with the other child, she yelled across the room, "Hey guys, food, food!" She sure knows how to get our attention. So I had to go over, and she served me a delicious meal of fake Granny Smith apples and fake rotisserie chicken. Children can be scary, because sometimes they have no filter. They'll tell you exactly what they think about you without qualms or concerns about consequences. Often they have enviable insights into things we adults don't always see or think about. I believe it's because they haven't been tainted by the troubles and worries of the world. Their minds are clear of the clutters that plague us big folks, and they can offer astounding intuition into matters that we may not even be aware they're aware of. Take the little girl featured in today's scripture. She was just a wee lass, but she was wise beyond her years. She was also observant. She was well aware of the debilitating, distressing disease of leprosy that her master, Naaman, suffered from. Leprosy made him a social outcast and an object of pity and distaste. For all that he was a successful war leader, a great man, and in high favor with his master, yet he still had this condition that effectively brought him down to size, made him humble. He thought his condition was incurable, so it was something he just had to live with. He probably never suspected a little girl snatched from her homeland in a raid would be the one to put him on the path to a cure. This little girl, like so many other females in scripture, isn't given a name. She was a captive, a slave, far from home. But it is very clear she had not forgotten her previous life in Israel. It is clear she didn't forget the lessons she had learned from her parents. It's clear she embodied that childlike trust we all once had, that belief in goodness and miracles and how everything works out in the end. She felt very sorry for Naaman, and she had an idea how to help him. Somehow she had learned about the healer in Samaria, the prophet Elijah. Perhaps when she was with her family in Israel before her capture, maybe she sat and listened to the grown-ups talking about Elijah and heard them describe some of the marvelous things he had done. He had turned poisoned water into fresh water. A poor woman in dire straits had come to him for help. Elijah asked her what resources she had on hand at her house, and she said she only had a jar of oil. Elijah told her to collect a whole bunch of empty jars and pour the oil from her jar into each of them. She soon had enough oil to sell and was thus able to pay off her debts. Elijah had fed 100 men with 20 loaves of barley bread. He had even raised a dead boy back to life. The little girl never forgot these stories. They had instilled in her an unshakable belief in the prophet's ability to do all kinds of miracles. Even though she was a captive and a slave, she had compassion on Naaman, which is a great example of the resilience of children. She could have been sullen and angry and sad and rebellious, but somewhere she had learned, and somehow she had decided to make the best of her situation. Somehow she had learned that praying and working for peace in all circumstances, and even praying for the well-being of those who had grabbed her from her family and her homeland, was the good and right thing to do. As later the prophet Jeremiah would write, "Seek the peace of the city whither I, God, have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace." Is that to say God had arranged the circumstances so that this particular child was in that particular place at that particular time because she knew what could help that particular man, Naaman? God certainly blessed her circumstances, and in doing so, Naaman would be blessed too. The little girl must have liked Naaman somewhat to propose a plan for a cure for him, wanting him to be healed and well. Obviously, the false gods Naaman worshipped were incapable of curing him. So the little girl told her mistress about the prophet Elisha, sure that he and only he could cure Naaman. She could have kept the info to herself. She could have left Naaman to suffer. Wouldn't it be only right to let him suffer for tearing her away from her family and her homeland? But she had a heart full of compassion and a heart filled with a steadfast belief in Elisha's power. Naaman's wife told him what the girl had said. Well, desperate times call for desperate measures, even to the point of listening to a foreign girl child servant, all aspects foreign girl child servant, that would in other circumstances render her powerless and silent and unheeded. But what did Naaman have to lose? He told the king what the girl had said, so the king sent him to Elisha. Now, this action caused some controversy. The king of Aram sent a letter to the king of Israel saying, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his skin disease." The king of Israel read the message and was distraught. "I can't cure nobody of no skin disease. The king of Aram is trying to start something with me." Elisha heard about the king's reaction. He was so mad he tore his clothes. So the prophet sent him another message. "Let Naaman come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went to Elisha's house, and then another controversy arose. Naaman, still wrapped up in his own importance, thought Elisha should come out and meet him face to face, wave his hands over him, and cure him at once. Instead, Elisha sent his servant to tell him, "Go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." Naaman was insulted. He wanted more pomp and flash in his cure, a big show, because after all, he was a big, prominent guy. Why couldn't he have stayed home and washed in one of the rivers in Damascus, which were far better than the Jordan River? His attendants convinced him to do as the prophet had said, and lo and behold, when he came up out of the river the 7th time, he was clean and completely cured. Not only was his flesh cleansed, but Naaman's heart was cleansed as well. Having had a real example of God's power, he decided Israel's God was the one true God, and from now on, he would forsake all the false gods he had previously served and bow down only to Israel's God. Naaman took some earth from the land of Israel so he could build an altar to Israel's God in his homeland and worship this real, living, powerful, healing God. What was it like when Naaman came back to Aram, his flesh restored like the flesh of a young boy? His king must have been impressed. His wife must have been overjoyed. And his little servant girl must have been ecstatic. Surely he gave her a big hug now that he could. And surely she rejoiced when he told her that he now believed in the God she had testified to and decided he would serve only him and sacrifice only to him. It's not too far-fetched to believe that once he built his altar to Israel's God, he invited the little girl to worship with him in the way that she had worshipped in Israel. In her wisdom and openness, she might have taught him important aspects of worshiping Yahweh. She had not forgotten God or how to worship God. So indeed, train up a child in the way she should go, and when she is old, she will not depart from it. This little girl kept her faith in the one God of Israel and helped lead the great warrior Naaman to him. Dare we hope that perhaps Naaman, now free of his disease, decided to free her too? Dare we hope that he even later adopted her with gratitude for her forward-looking faith and childlike trust that led to his cure? It makes us want to pray for all the captive children all around the world, children suffering from war and want, from disease and poverty, children in our own state and our own country, children in Gaza, children in Palestine, children in Ukraine, children in Congo, children living today in Syria, where this one little girl lived long ago. For them, we lift up a prayer that their childlike hope and belief and faith in the one God of all will heal them and free them forever. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the innocence and insight of children. Let us listen to them, for they are pure with uncluttered minds that help them remain close to you. Take away our adult cynicism and doubt and fill us with their belief and trust in you to cure us of all our ills and give us peace and hope. Amen.